Amen. Thank you, Randy, for doing that song. I know the Lord laid it on your heart, and I just felt led to ask you to do it. So before we get in the message, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, for America, the freedoms we have, that we could come out and worship you without worrying about government knocking on the doors and trying to close us down. May happen very soon, but we thank you now for what we have. We thank you, Lord, that you still have your hand upon America. We don't understand. If it was up to us, we'd have done cleaned house and done this and that, but as we'll see later in your word, that our judgment is not your judgment. And our wrath is not your wrath. And we're thankful for that, God, that you are the supreme judge, the one that's the one and only true judge. So we look at your word, Lord, just be with us. Speak through us what you'd have us to hear. We want to uplift and glorify you now through your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you got your Bibles tonight, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. The Lord has, I didn't know if I would ever be able to preach it, but I felt like today was the day. I felt like when Brother Roy asked me to preach tonight that 10 days on this message, but just going to try to hit the high spots. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And that's what I want to look at tonight, being an edifier. We as believers, we as members of the body of Christ, whether we're a preacher, teacher, evangelist, teaching, or just in common conversation with anybody, we need to be an edifier. We need to edify the body. We need to encourage. Edify also, whether preaching or teaching or just in conversation, if we tear them down, they're just going to turn us off. Nothing's going to ever change in their lives. We need to show love, faith, and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. You see, we're all on that journey to be Christ-like. And we won't get there until we get to heaven. But we're all on that journey, and we need to encourage each other, build each other up in that journey. You know, it's easy for us to judge, and I was thinking about sitting back there, the Lord brought to mind James 1, not to be and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And I mentioned in my prayer, you know, I get so frustrated with America and things it's done, but hey, justification in our eyes is not justification in his eyes. As we've seen this past week, there's still lost souls being saved in this country. And it says here to be swift to hear and slow to speak. I tell you, I have a weakness when I'm talking to somebody. I get two conversations ahead of them. I get two paragraphs ahead of them. And I don't listen to what they say. I get in my mind what I'm going to say, and I don't listen to what they say. That's not what this verse says. We need to listen more. I think if we would listen more, we could see, we could hear, we could understand and comprehend the hopelessness, the worry, the hurt that's in someone's life instead of going ahead and judging them before we even get done with the conversation. It says to be swift to hear and slow to speak. We need to just hold our mouth just a few seconds. before we say something. You know, they say in social media, once you post something in social media, it's out there, it can never be returned. That's the way it is with our mouth, too. Once it's said, you can't take it back. The hurt's done been done. The damage has been done. So we need to be slow to speak and slow to wrath. Back in Ephesians, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. As I was reading this, I was thinking about America. And I was thinking about the deception that's in America. The deception by Satan and his agenda that we see each and every day. Not just in the weak. I'm talking about those in leadership, those in authority, in our government, in our schools, by our teaching, in our colleges that are taught. This deception's being taught. And these people are just sucking it in. They're being deceived. They're being blinded. They're being tossed about to and fro. But what does this say? And as I mentioned earlier, talking about our founding fathers, they were real men standing on God's word, standing up for what's right. They were not children. They were men. They were women standing up for what was right. And this challenges us here to be the same, to be no more children tossed to and fro. We need to make a stand in America. We need to do what God tells us to do. And I think we're seeing less and less of this kind of attitude in our men and women today. They don't want to sacrifice. It's been too easy. It's easy. It's just easy to go with the flow. Sometimes we should be slow to speak, but there's other times we need to take a stand for what's right and not fall into the trap of this deception and just go with the flow. We even see some denominations doing that as well, and it's sad. But 15 goes on to say, but speaking the truth in love. Sometimes the truth is hard, and we don't like to hear it. But if it's with love, if it's in the right spirit, it will accomplish what God wants to accomplish. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. There we see that edifying again. You know, we could talk about the body of Christ. I don't really want to talk about that right now, but if talking about the building of the body, the building of the body of Christ, I was thinking about this in high school. I took a year of bricklaying in high school. And that first year, that was the basic class. We didn't get to use mortar. All we used was limestone and water. So when you laid the brick, laid the block, you know, it looked good, but you could take that brick and just pull it right off. There was no substance to it. There was no bonding of it. And you see, that's what he's saying here. When we edify one another, when we build up one another, we amplify that bond between us, and it joins together like glue. And that's what he's talking about, the body of Christ. Us as a church, us as individuals, building that relationship and building up each other. You know, I've tried to tell my kids as they're growing up, if something you say is going to hurt somebody, It's better just not even say it, even though it may be the truth, even though it might, you know, don't say it if it's going to hurt somebody. And you and I both know we all have weaknesses. It's not hard to find something wrong with somebody. It's not hard to find something wrong with me. But we don't need to focus on that. We need to encourage them because we don't know where their hurt's at. We don't know what they're dealing with. And the very thing you may say may kill what you're trying to come across with. If you jump on down to verse 29, it says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Now that's not really talking about foul language. That word corrupt there means worthless or rotten. So if what you're going to say, what I'm going to say is worthless, then don't say it. It says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers." Did you catch that? We talk about God's grace, the grace of Jesus that He gives us. If we're edifying somebody, that's going to be a reflection of God's grace in us. And then that will be reflected to them, and they will see God's grace just as we've seen it in our lives. God's grace unto the hearers, good to the use of edifying. I don't know about you, but this is kind of difficult to swallow. I know we all struggle with this. As I was mentioning earlier about, you don't know what somebody's going through, but what they're struggling with, where their hurt is, where their worry's at, whether they're struggling with something going on. In Job 4, 3 and 4, it says, "Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened the weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees." Is what we're saying strengthening people? You know, all of us are weak sometimes. All of us are hopeless about something. We're kind of weak. We've got shaky knees. Is what we're saying to somebody going to help them, going to pick them up like this says? Strengthening the weak hands, upholding him that's fallen. Is what we're saying to somebody going to hold them up? Are we pulling the rug from out and under them? You know, we're already feeble. We're already weak. And if you pull the foundation out from it, we're going to fall. It's not going to help us. Romans 15 says, 15:1-2, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." That's tough. We always think about ourselves, don't we? We think about number one. But we need to be looking at others. Just like Jesus told his disciples, "Love thy neighbor as thyself." It continues on, "Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification." 1 Corinthians says, "How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, have an interpretation." See, we're all different, but we come together. We need to come together as one body. And it continues to say, "Let all things be done unto edifying." So maybe that opinion that we have might be just best not to bring it up. Jesus got pretty strict on this. He was really talking to the scribes and Pharisees. But I think we can take something out of it too. In Matthew 12:34, he says, "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." And yeah, he was talking about the scribes and Pharisees, and I don't know that they were followers of God, believers. So how could they speak good things? Well, what about us when we're in the flesh? Yeah, we're believers, but sometimes we get in the flesh and we can say things. If we're in the flesh, we're not going to say those good things. He says, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So our mouth shows where our heart is. We got to be careful. Continues on, "A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment." Now listen to this next verse. "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, or by thy words thou shalt be condemned." What are we saying? Do we need to take that extra second or two before we speak what's really on our minds? So how do we change our thinking? How do we change how to do that? And the Lord laid on my heart a very familiar passage in Psalm 51. You remember the story, all the things that David went through, all the sin with Bathsheba and murdering Uriah and everything that he'd done. He cried out to God. In Psalm 51, it says in verse 10, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." See, we have to have that right spirit in us to speak those words of edification. We've got to have that right spirit. And the only way we can get it is with God's help, because we still do battle with the flesh now. But he says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thine Holy Spirit from me." We've got to have his Holy Spirit as well. The right spirit, the Holy Spirit, it must be in us. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." Then here's the results. David tells the results. "Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." See, if we're in the right spirit, if we've got the Holy Spirit, if we tried to get away from the flesh, get that right spirit in us, then we're going to be saying the right things when we preach, when we teach, when we're talking to young people and Sunday school and Awana, things like that. "And transgressors will see thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." It continues on, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise." When I read this, I was like, you know, we're talking about speaking things of edification. And I think one of those ways is showing praise to God, praising the Lord, singing to God, opening your lips and showing praise to God. That's got to be edification. That's not tearing down anything. If you're testifying or singing or praising the Lord, how is that tearing anybody down? That's encouraging them. I know when I hear people testifying, people sing, that it encourages me. It stirs me up. And it's going to do the same for those as well. So we see here that once we get the right spirit, once we get that Holy Spirit in us, and we try to get away from the flesh and get the flesh off our minds, that we can start doing what God has us accomplished. We can start edifying the church, edifying those in the church, but not only them, those outside of the church. If we start tearing them down before we even get started, we're not going to accomplish anything. We got to have an attitude of edification. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you tonight. God, we're all so guilty of speaking before we think. We like to get our opinions, our minds out there before we even think what it might do, who it might hurt, how it might hurt somebody. God, as James said, help us to be swift to hear. Listen to who we're talking to. Listen to who how we can help someone, how we can build them up, and help us to be slow to speak. You know, a lot of times, Lord, our attitude can speak words louder than anything we can say. And as Jesus said, Lord, our heart, our mouth speaketh what our heart desires. And we pray that our heart, we will have that clean heart that David spoke about, Lord. God, help us to have that clean heart. Help us to have the right spirit. Help us to have the Holy Spirit in us, God. And Lord God, we just come to you tonight. We thank you for all those that are here. And again, we thank you for the freedoms we have in this country. And we thank you for all those that's fought for our freedoms, God. Be with us this week and help us to do your will. Help us to be lights for you and help us to be an edifier, Lord, in your church, in our community, and all that we come in contact with, Lord. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.